Hi guys, welcome back to my channel and welcome back to my podcast if you are listening. Today I am going to be talking about the Emily Attack Lad Bible video as well as her recent documentary that she's been involved in and how I feel it really is such an important topic in terms of women, how they're treated online, hate comments, sexualization, etc, etc, because I think it fits in pretty well with things we've talked about on this channel before. So I am going to be reacting to the video that she done a year ago, but she talks about the same topics, and I think that's probably where the idea for the documentary came from, and also talk about the hate that she's received already since releasing the documentary. I think it was about 11 hours ago. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. I hope you enjoy.
Out the other day, before 10 a.m, I'd seen three penises that I hadn't asked to see. If I'd walked out into the street to get a coffee and three men had flashed me on the way, I'd be in pieces, I'd be traumatised, but there is honestly something about when it's online, and I hate to admit this, I've become so used to it.
And that, straight away, is the sad side of online. I honestly think social media is amazing, it's great, I use it, I love it, but the harsh reality of social media is that people do not have a connection with the things that they're saying, the things that they're doing. People are there telling people to life end, and they think that's fine, but they would never say it to your face. But that the emotion that you receive from that still feels the same. I'll touch a little bit on some hate that I've been receiving recently as well. But people don't have that same personal connection when they're doing hate comments, sexualization comments. But also, it's almost like we need to be used to it or accept it. That's just the way it is. That's just what happens. And unfortunately, at the moment, that is the sad reality that anybody who decides to be online has to face. That's why we have so many child attempts, bullying online. But I think that's a really great point to start the interview off with.
I knew I wanted to be an actress. Didn't quite know how I was going to go about it, but I just knew that's what I wanted to do. I found out there was an audition for something called Baggy Trousers, which is now, it was later, The Inbetweeners. And I said to my agent, I really want to go for this. It's a new six-part series on E4. It would just be the best thing ever. And he was kind of going, it's so unlikely, don't get your hopes up. But he sent me to the audition. And on my third audition, by this point, I wanted it so badly, and I knew that this job was going to change my life. I didn't know how big it was going to be, but I just knew that it was going to be big. And I turn around in the audition, and I would never do this now because I know the etiquette. I turn around and on my way out, I said, I'm just going to say, nobody else in that room can do this part better than me. Charlotte Hinchcliffe is made for me. And then I walked out and I got the part the next, like that.
I do find it funny, she said she wouldn't do it again because she knows the etiquette, and I do understand what she means in terms of being professional. However, I think one thing that we miss as adults that we have when we, or some of us have when we were younger or teenagers, is that self-confidence. She truly believed that she was that part, and nobody else could play better than her. So she said it, and look, she got the part, but we still see that. It's even, she said, the etiquette is not to do that. It's a negative thing. And I think a lot of the time, self-confidence, we hear it all the time, she's full of herself, or he's full of himself, they're full of themselves. It's weird that it's seen as bad to love yourself, to be confident in yourself. And again, I know people are commenting, that's not what she meant. I understand that she means professionalism, when you're going into interviews, there's a way to act. But I just found that interesting, because she did go the part and it did work.
I was 17 when I did the first series of The Inbetweeners, and I started doing lads mags where you're posing in your pants. And at the time, I've got to be honest, at the time, and people ask me this a lot, whether, you know, it was like a really sort of scary, strange thing being a sex symbol at such a young age, but I was loving it. I was just, it was my job. I felt like it was my job to pose in my underwear to promote a TV show or a movie or something. I didn't sit there and think, oh my God, this is so exposing, this is too much. I think this now that I'm a grown-up, it's one of those things I reflect on and go, wow, you know, I look at 17-year-olds now, they look like babies.
Interesting point here. So the fact that she felt confident enough to do that, and she had fun, she enjoyed it, she clearly didn't feel comfortable, is excellent. excellent, it's great, we love body positivity, we love women being empowered, showing their own bodies and being happy to do so, not being forced to do so, do it for themselves. It's sad, however, that she says she felt like that was her job to do that, to promote the TV shows and the films, because reflecting, obviously, as she is and she's an adult, it wasn't just that she was doing it for the fun. She might have enjoyed it at the time, but she felt as a woman that she needed to, or it was her duty to show her body in order to promote TV shows and films. That still happens today, we see it all the time, we know this, but it's interesting to hear her say that and how she can reflect that. Yes, she did enjoy it, but actually it felt like something she needed to do. You would never see a man having to show his private parts in order to advertise, would you? I do want to mention as well, as I said it earlier, trigger warning, there is a lot of talk about sexual harassment, there's some inappropriate language, and also inappropriate, I wouldn't say inappropriate language. If you're a child, it might be inappropriate language, or if you don't like swear words or lumpism, but just as a banner, trigger warning, a lot of sexually explicit wording and comments will be read during this as well.
And I look at pictures of me back then with my skinny little body, my big lollipop head, and I look at that and I think, oh my God, I was so young. And actually what I think is unusual is that I was so comfortable and fine with all those things.
Did you feel any pressure then to look a certain way?
I feel a pressure to look a certain way every single day. I think about my weight 95% of the day. When I was sort of 15, 16, I'd never really worried about my weight because I was, in my head, I was a slim teenager and I never had any problem getting a boyfriend and, you know, that was all fine. It was when I started doing the in-betweeners that people online started calling me fat. And that really surprised me because I'd never thought about my weight in a negative way before. And because, you know, most actresses, a lot of actresses are much smaller, they're size 6 or 8. And I was a sort of size 10, 12 girl. And I've just never...
This is a perfect example of social media and expectations. She never had any issues with her body image, with her weight. She felt fine and comfortable in herself until people decided, who didn't know her, to tell her that she was fat, overweight, big, bigger than other people. Then the comparison started, and it's so sad, but this is happening on even, I would say, a larger scale. Obviously, there's always been pressure in Hollywood, there's always been pressure in the movies and with celebrities to follow the trends, whether that was being larger like it was many years ago, or it's being skinny. We went through like the really skinny model moment, and everybody felt like they needed to look like that in terms of celebrities. But to hear what we all know, especially, I would say especially women, but you know, I think men struggle too, but they don't talk about it as much maybe. It's not until often someone points out to you that there's something wrong with you that you notice it. Because as a child, you're happy, you don't really think about your parents, you think about living life, playing, being happy. Obviously there's expectations, there's exceptions to that. But it is sad that she felt completely fine and comfortable until people then, who didn't even know her, decided to label her as something that she didn't even consider herself. And once that happens, there's not really any going back. That's always there in the back of your mind. And this is like social media, and especially with the TV shows we've got today, like Love Island. Oh, the minute someone's ever so slightly above the expected weight, fat, pig, it happens, and people like to pretend that things are getting better, and I think it is by talking about it, but it's still, there's a lot of hate and a lot of upset out there. Most of it comes from people's own insecurities. It could be a woman feeling completely insecure about herself, so she's going to call another woman fat online because she doesn't know that woman, so it's not going to affect her social life, it's not going to affect her friends, she's not offending anyone she knows, but she can get that rage out to someone that probably will never see it, but they do, and that's what people don't realise. We do see it, she sees it, she saw it, it affected her, and obviously is still affecting her to this day. She said that she thinks about a weight 95% of the time.
Never been able to get down to the size that people are expecting me to be. I don't know what people want from me. And even when it's, say if you've lost like 3 pounds and you're feeling yourself, and you're like, yeah, I've lost a bit of weight, and then somebody shuts you down and goes, you're still a fat pig. It absolutely destroys me. It's awful. It's absolutely horrific.
You also receive some unwanted sexual comments online.
What I've really noticed is that I'm so used to having men hurling abuse at me in the street and or in a bar. I'm so used to that. I've had it my whole life. What I've been interested to see in the last kind of...
I know I paused it again, but that sentence is so sad but familiar. We know it as women. And I think she makes a very good point later on. So I know that men like to come for the comments and say, you know, not all men, or, oh, you're talking about it, you're making it worse, oh, you're trying to make men like bad people, or you're trying to victimise all women and make men monsters. That's not the conversation. She says something very interesting like that I really do agree with. So please, if you're a man and you're getting annoyed already, just listen please. But the fact that she said that she's used to getting harassed in pubs, going out in the streets all the time, that is one of the most relatable statements. And that's sad in itself.
Last decade, I guess, where social media is the biggest it's ever been, the online abuse and the sexual harassment is just out of control. It's completely out of control. For some reason, there's this blind spot where if it's online, you don't receive any consequence at all.
Oh, how many sexual messages from strangers do you receive now?
I receive on a daily basis, it's hundreds. I receive hundreds of messages.
Can you tell us some examples of the things you've...
Yeah, sure. No problem. I've never said these out loud. It's quite daunting.
Warning. This is your warning. Skip. I will put the number on the screen if you don't want to hear sexually explicit, awful messages. I will leave the number on the screen. And if you are watching the podcast, just skip a couple of minutes and hopefully you won't have to hear them.
I think sort of saying them on a camera. Let daddy make you come like the filthy slut you are. Let me impregnate you, you filthy cum whore. I know that you're a filthy cum slut. I know what you like. Oh, this is an interesting one. I'm a dad of four kids. Why don't you be naughty with me like you always are with everyone else and let this bad daddy spunk all over your face? No, thank you, daddy. I worked out the other day before 10 a.m.
And I know people receive worse messages than this. This is the thing. I don't understand. I do not understand why people think it's okay to say these things. Even just hate in general, obviously, is out of control online. People think that they can tell people to life, and they think that they can tell people anything and everything. But sending messages like that, especially the fact that you mentioned that I'm a dad of four. But have you got daughters? You know, if you've got sons that you think that this is an acceptable behaviour, you wonder why this happens, because you've got a dad who's got children, whether that's a boy or a girl, and he even himself is talking to someone online that he doesn't know sexually harassing them. And we wonder why it's like a cycle. And how would that dad feel if somebody spoke to his own child like that? Because I'm sure he wouldn't feel the same. Or how would he discipline his son if his son spoke to a girl like that? Because clearly some people, their morals and their understanding of what's right and what's wrong, nobody deserves to be spoken to like that in life or not. And I think the problem is the more extreme the behaviour is online in terms of how we are speaking to people, the violence that we're seeing on a daily basis, that teenagers and children are seeing, the sexual harassment, the more severe that gets online, the more normalised it becomes, and that does then come into normal life. So if you've been speaking to somebody like that online for weeks and you think that is normal, what is the difference then between you then going out and squeezing someone's bum in town, or worse? Because if you're a young man or a young girl coming up in today's society, you're being subjected to this constantly all the time. Your understanding of really bad is obviously going to be way higher than maybe it used to be, because it's normal, you're seeing it all the time. Speaking to a woman like that online is normal, so what's the difference between calling her a slut or a whore, or what's the difference between shaming her, what's the difference between beating up this guy because of a fight, or pulling out weapons or whatever? It's scary. We used to worry about boys being brought up on the P word, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying that word, and how that gives such a wrong image of what real sexual activity is like. And that's still true today, but it's so much bigger than that now. There's so much content out there, and some of it is amazing. Some of it is so dangerous.
I'd seen three penises that I hadn't asked to see. Three, you know, cock shots that had been sent through. If I'd walked out into the street to get a coffee and three men had flashed me on the way, I'd be in pieces, I'd be traumatised. But there is honestly something about when it's online. And I hate to admit this, I've become so used to it. I just kind of go, oh, for fuck's sake, oh, God, oh, you know. When I get these messages, I do always look on their profile to kind of see what, I'm intrigued to see what sort of person they would be, what life they have. Sometimes it's, you know, completely anonymous, no photo, and they've obviously just created an account to just sail these awful things to God knows how many poor women. It goes from teenage boys to middle-aged men to really old men, old single men that are probably desperately lonely, and older men who are married with children and they have daughters in their profile pictures, you know. And this particular guy that I'm a dad of four kids, I thought that can't be true, and I went on his profile, he's got a full family, full life, and I just can't believe the, like, how brazen he is to kind of to do that, not assuming that I would come out and completely out him. I could easily do that.
This is the thing I don't understand as well. I think you should never say something online or to somebody online that you wouldn't be okay with being brought out into the real world. So if you are talking to someone or you're saying something to someone, you're in someone's inbox, and the things that you are saying, if your work found out, you would be ashamed or potentially sacked. If your partner found out, she would be upset, he would be upset, they would be upset. If your family found out, they would be embarrassed and ashamed. But so much of what gets said online by trolls, it's like that woman who years ago, I don't know if you remember this, it was in the UK, and she was trolling about a child that had passed away. And she was like really saying some awful, awful things under the guise of an anonymous tag name. No one knew who she was. And then one of the news agents found out who this woman was and went to her house. Now, there's a lot of legality about whether it was right to do that, because they then put her in danger, etc. But again, she said those things. It wasn't just once, it was multiple. It was her whole thing was just really awful, horrible. The most horrendous things you wouldn't even think to say, this woman was saying online. When they found out who she was, and her face got plastered everywhere, she decided life end was the best option, and that's what she did. Why then, if you know how wrong what you are saying online is, you, because in all, for you to do that, for you to end everything because people have found out what you've been saying and doing, you know how horrific it is. So why are you doing it? It's not like you don't know any better. This is what I don't understand. And these men that she's talking about who've got partners and families, do they not think, what if my family found out? Why am I doing this? And it does scare you that you just don't know what people are doing in their phones. It gives serious trust issues. But again, it's not everybody. It takes a certain type of person, and I'm just going to go into that in a minute, but it does cause severe trust issues that you just don't know anybody. And I just think it's crazy.
How does it make you feel when you read something like that?
My heart's beating really fast at the moment. My heart's like, and I'm sweating. I think the words that I'm saying, like I'm shaking as well, really strange. I think as well, because I've always been known as like a Charlotte Big Jugs girl, you know, I'm Charlotte Big Jugs, I'm the fun party girl, I'm blonde, I've got boobs, I'm an outrageous flirt. What frightens me is that that is the persona that I've always put out there to people. So it's people saying to me, I know that's what you're like, so that's why I'm going to say this to you, because I think you're going to like what I'm going to say. I don't know. It makes me embarrassed, because it makes me go, well, this entire time I've posed in my underwear in lads mags, and I've written sketch shows about my one night stands and laughed about it, and I've got a cleavage. My cleavage is out today. You can't help. There is a little thing in your mind going, yeah, but, and I hate myself saying it, but you go, yeah, but what do you expect? What do you expect? And I go, oh my God, why am I thinking that? That's a terrible thing to think.
I know we've said this before. It's difficult because I have the same arguments with myself about things that have happened to me. But I don't know why it's like upsetting. I just think posting in lab mags, taking photos, showing your body, your own body, that you own it, you have autonomy, showing your body, talking about openly about your sexual experiences does not mean that you deserve to be treated any differently to anybody else. It's so sad that it's so easy for us to blame ourselves. Men have been doing comedy and stand-up and TV shows and sketch shows about sex forever. They can talk about how many women, they can just talk about it without even thinking about the consequences of that. But the minute a woman does it, suddenly it's, oh, she's asking for it. Oh, why would she talk about that openly? She's disgusting. She's wanting attention. Where's her self-respect? Things should be hidden. That's not the way a woman should be talking. And I've heard this of people I know. People that I spend time with that have this opinion. Why can't a woman talk about those things? And a lot of the answers that I end up getting, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, is because men don't want them to. Because a man wouldn't want them. Because it's not how men think women should be. That's not what men find attractive in women. And that's just the way it's always going to be. And I can't accept that. I've been told that so many times. This is just the way it is. Women are always going to be seen as different to men. Men are always going to want to sleep around before they pick a woman. Men are always not going to want a woman that's been around a lot of men, because that's not the type of woman that they want to marry. So they get to have their fun, but they're never going to marry those women. So therefore they're admitting they've got no respect for the women that they've sat with. But then once they finally settle down, they want a nice woman. A woman that hasn't been touched. A woman that has been, you know, and time and time again we get told that, oh, it's not, women have to, what makes me laugh is when we talk about this and people get so angry. I've spoken about stuff like this before and there's videos I've deleted because of the hate in the comment sections, and there's videos that I've spoken about, the comments, and yes, some of them are trolls and some of them don't, you know, they don't even believe the things that they're saying, they do it for a reaction. But we are told it's an attack, and a lot of the time it's not just men, it's women as well, because they've been taught to think this way, and then it upsets them when people are saying, no, that's not right, because that's how they've been living their life. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. If that's how they want to live their life, then 100% that's fine, that is up to you. But don't put other women down. People used to laugh at the women who were fighting for the right to vote. Women laughed at women that were fighting for the right to vote. What would you want to do that for? Why would a woman want to do that? Why aren't you happy with just being cared for? Why aren't you happy with just looking after the children? It wasn't just men, it was women also. It was the media, it was men. Why would women get to vote? What opinions can they possibly give? They won't understand what they're voting for. It's the same thing now over something different. We are still fighting, and people bring up such stupid arguments whenever you bring up things like this, and they start saying things like, oh, well, what about women wanting to be fighting? In what about women wanting to be well? Wouldn't, if a woman wants all this, then why would they ask a man to help them carry this? Or why would they let a man take them on a date? Or this. They use the most extreme examples to make us look stupid. I get help off my partner all the time, carrying heavy things. That doesn't make me weak. It doesn't make me a hypocrite. He can just carry heavier things than me. I am not denying that. I am not going to sit there and try to carry something that I can't carry when he can clearly carry it better than me without me injuring myself. But I refuse to sit down and accept that a woman should fall in line with this idea that men are like these bachelors that are waiting to find their perfect woman. And while they do that, they're just going to go through a load of women that shouldn't be respected because they're willing to sleep with you and do the same act that you're doing. But then once the man wants to settle down, the woman that he has needs to have not slept around herself, not had any sexual experiences, not been willing to talk openly about things, not enjoyed her own body, not enjoyed taking photos of herself, because that's not what a man wants. But why can you do it and we can't? And that is the age old question, I know. And I know I've gone on a bit of a rant, but it's so difficult when even people that you love and care about and respect have these opinions. Where do they come from? And people say, it's always been the same, it's never going to change. Well, they said that about voting, they said that about gay rights, they said that about black people. So things can change, but it won't change if people just shut up and lay down and accept it. So yeah, sorry. That was a bit of a rant, but let's get back to the video.
Makes me question everything that I am and everything I put out there. And that's what makes me feel strange reading this out. The horrible thing about it is that nobody is around to kind of go, oi, to say to the person, don't fucking do that, that's horrific. It's just they're allowed to just to do it, and I'm subjected to it on my own, in my home. I don't have a partner, you know, I'm by myself, and it does make me feel scared to kind of live on my own. I've had people now messaging me knowing that I live on my own, saying that they're outside with a telescope and they know what my cushions look like on my sofa. And recently, guy actually followed me home. It was when we were allowed to go to the pub again. I was walking home from the pub, and it wasn't even that late. It was probably about 9 o'clock or something, so it was dark. And he just, you know, he's riding up next to me on his bike, and he's like, I recognise you. And I'm like, yeah, just kind of walking on. He was like, I know. And he was just sort of saying all these things in my ear, like saying, I know what you like. I know what sort of girl you are. You love being single, and let me show you what I can do to you. Let me show you what a good time I can give you. And like, so that was physically in the flesh. And I ran indoors and I was so upset and so frightened. So it's just, it's that. I have that man on the bike in my ear, but just constantly online. And it does, it starts to chip away.
That's what I meant before when I said, obviously that's one example, but it can so easily go from saying that online to someone to them believing that it's normal to say it in real life. And I know it is not everyone, and she could have walked past 10 men and none of them would have said anything, or only one of them would have said something. But it does happen.
Same. Yeah, it does.
If that metaphor is standing in this room right now, what would you want to say?
Oh my God, I wouldn't. If you sort of say, if somebody said to me, "You've got the opportunity to face him now," would you? No, I probably wouldn't. Oh my God, it makes me feel sick just thinking about the horrible faces. They're disgusting, and I feel so sorry for their families not knowing that that's what they're doing. Do you know what? I'm a brave girl. I probably would face it. But oh my God, it would be probably one of the hardest things I'd ever have to do.
Does that make you think so much less of men in general?
No, it doesn't. Because I am very lucky that I've got a lot of wonderful men in my life. I think that's why I don't completely crumble over things like this, because I have incredible men in my life. I've been extremely, extremely loved by my father and my uncles and my cousins. And I think in that sense, I'm lucky. You can't generalize. You know, it's so easy to go like, oh, men are disgusting. It's, you know, they just think with their dicks and all that. But I don't believe that. I think that it takes a certain type of person.
It must have such an impact on your mental health.
It has just been recently that I've opened up about it, because
this is the point. Nobody's saying it's all men. I have had amazing friends who are men. I've got friends who are men. I love my partner. He's a man. But every time we try to have this conversation, it becomes a, you're attacking men. There's some people out there that will hate all men. Just the same as there's some men out there that hate all women. But you can't just use the one example of somebody who just completely hates all men and is blaming all men to then completely just, no, not listening, use her being dramatic, or use her trying to villainize men. No, we want to be safe. We want to be respected. We want to walk the streets without feeling unsafe. We don't want to have had multiple sexual assault stories before the age of 30. We don't want to be harassed when we go on a night out. And it's not the same as saying I don't want men to speak to me. And I think it's so difficult to have this conversation without being attacked. I don't hate men, but I am scared of being attacked by a man. I am scared of being followed home by a man. I've never felt worried about being followed home by a woman. If there's a woman behind me, I don't feel threatened. I just don't, because it's learned behaviour and I've never had to. Where I've felt scared being followed by a man, I've had a man come directly up behind me while following me home, standing there breathing down my neck, and then I've had to run. I've had men assault me. I've had men say the most awful, disgusting things. So yeah, I am. I am scared that a man may do things to me. But I don't hate all men. My fear is valid. Women's fear is valid. You can't invalidate it by telling us that we are just trying to villainize all men. I have so much love for so many men, but you can't pretend it's not a problem just by trying to use one end of the scale to tell us, oh, there's all these insane people that are saying that it's all men and all men should be locked up and kept at home, because the majority of us just want to feel safe. We just want to be okay. We want you to say to your friend, maybe you shouldn't take that girl home. Maybe you shouldn't put that in that girl's drink. Maybe you shouldn't speak about that girl in that way. Maybe you shouldn't be commenting on this girl's photo in that way. Nobody's saying you're all predators. All we're saying is we want to feel safe and respected. And we don't want to be blamed every time a man does something to us and then it gets twisted because we wore the wrong thing, or we were flirty, or we love to express our own bodies, or we have spoke before about enjoying something sexually, or we've been open about our sexuality. Stop blaming us. Start looking at the people who are doing the things that are wrong. Please.
There was a point where I was sat there and I was so shocked by how I was feeling. I was questioning everything about myself. I was questioning my entire persona. I ended up sitting there thinking, is this why I'm single? Because this is how men look at me, and they just see me as a piece of trash that they can just, you know, flip over and kind of treat how they want. This is what the messages were kind of doing to me. I remember when I wrote my sketch show, which I'm so proud of, it's the best thing I've ever done in my life, and I'm a sexually liberated woman. I stand up there and I talk about all these things. The reason why I'm doing that is because I'm trying to take ownership again of my sexuality, because men my entire life have commented on my body, my boobs, the men that I've dated, and this is my way of taking back all that control. And standing there and kind of saying, do you know what? Fuck you, because this is my body, these are my thoughts, these are my experiences, and all the things I'm talking about, this is my sexual experiences, my sex, my everything. This is, you can't, and they can't take that from me then, I feel. If I stand up there as a sexually liberated woman and say all these things, I feel like I'm taking back some control, I feel, personally.
I've got so much respect for this interview and what she's just said then, and this is why women want to talk about it themselves. This is why women want to show the body. This is why women want to do what they want to do with their body, with their sexuality, in the bedroom, what they talk about, because it's taken power back that we feel like we've never had, or that's been taken away from us, and that shouldn't be looked down on. Now, from this interview, because this interview was a year ago, I believe that from this interview, she was then offered the documentary on BBC Two. I can't show it because I couldn't find the actual show online to be able to show you properly. And also, I think there might have been a bit of a copyright issue with it being BBC, and I wasn't 100% sure. Obviously, Unilad has full credit for the interview that I've just shown, and I will have said that at the beginning. But the documentary went live, or was aired, about 11 hours ago. And already, I'll put some on the screen, but she has received so much hate online, and it's so sad. When you hear how she was speaking, I don't think she said anything to incite hate towards men. She was honest about her own experiences and the things that have happened to her, and she's talked about it on the documentary, and there has been men saying, you're asking for it. Of course, because it's called Emily Attack, am I asking for it? Yes, you're asking for it. What do you expect when you are dressed? All those fears that she had of herself are being told back to her by men. And that's why she had the fear. Even probably some women are saying the same thing. But at the end of the day, just because you're sexually expressive, just because you've played a part in a show, or you've got bigger boobs, you've got a bigger bum, you like to show your body, you like to wear tight clothes, you feel confident in yourself, you have had multiple sexual experiences, you've done some different things, just because of those things does not mean that you ever are asking to be spoken to the way she's described, to be touched without consent, to be harassed online or in person, to be followed home, to be spied on, to have people looking through your window, And I just don't, I worry about the future, and I am a worrier, as you know, but I just wanted to talk openly and honestly about this because it hurts my heart. I have been through enough God awful experiences in life in relation to this sort of thing. I've been called names, I've been treated like it just resonates, and I think it's sad that there's still people out there. Not everybody, of course it's not everybody, but there's enough of it to be a problem. There's enough people, there's enough trolls online, there's enough idiots, quite frankly, who believe that it is acceptable to speak to people like that and to treat people like that, and that is what we need to end, and we need to talk about it. We need to be able to talk about it without hate, without arguing with each other, without just using hateful comments. If somebody's got an opinion, even if that opinion is wrong, I will still try to speak to them about. Sometimes people will leave hate comments on my videos and I will respond in a neutral way. Even if they've said the most horrific things, but in there somewhere there's something that I agree with, I will say, I agree with that point, but I'm trying to have a conversation. Sometimes they'll respond and we'll end up having quite a normal conversation. I've had some really great debates, and sometimes they'll just completely not respond, and sometimes there's just no getting through to people. But we need to be able to talk without just sending hate to the person or saying the person's an idiot or stupid or not listening, because we're not going to get anywhere. No problem is solved by two people just screaming at each other without any listening, and that's what I feel is so important. So please, if you're going to comment, think before you comment. Even if you don't agree with anything that I've said, don't just leave a hate comment. Be constructive, let us talk. Maybe we can come to some sort of agreement, maybe we won't, but we don't need to hate each other. We don't need to just add to the cesspool of negativity that online can breed. So, I know that that was a bit of a rambly one. I know it was a bit, I did get a bit heated there, but I hope you have enjoyed it. Please do let me know of any other topics you would like me to discuss. I will get this edited and uploaded as soon as possible. Please do subscribe. I am trying to get over 1,000 subscribers as soon as I possibly can. And like, comment, share. Let's get this message across. It'll help join. It'll help build my channel as well. And if you're listening over on the podcast, thank you very much. I appreciate you as well. And I will see you again soon. So wherever that you are, I hope you have a lovely morning, day or night. And I will see you again next time. Bye.